So we're going to get started, and as others join, we can kind of include them in the conversation that we're having this evening. My name is Melanza, and I am your facilitator this evening, and your note taker is one of my colleagues by the name of James. And I want to let you know at the very beginning, I want to thank you guys for coming, and then I want to make each of you aware that we are recording the meeting. And then I want to kind of go back over the group rules, which was established at the very beginning, and that was to be present, take space, make space, use I statements. Confidentiality is extremely important. Don't yuck my yam. In other words, let's be respectful of one another. Take care of yourself. If you feel that this is not a safe space and you're uncomfortable with what's going on, take a breath if you need to. And then be courageous. Have a courageous conversation. Stay engaged. Please speak your truth, your experience, any discomforts you may have, what expectations that you have, and accept that this is a life learning opportunity, and assume the best intention. We are doing the best we can with the skills that we have. So once again, I don't want to assume that everyone has a computer or access to a form of device. So if you're unable to use the Jamboard, just speak out, because we are recording you, so we will capture what you're saying. The link to the Jamboard is in the chat. So if you would click on the link or highlight the link and put it in a section so that you can join on the Jamboard. James, our note taker, actually will share his screen and show what each of the participants are saying in the group. By a show of hands, do you guys agree with the group norm? Are you comfortable with the recordings? If not, you can do a show of hands or chat or write in the chat that yes, that you're comfortable with what we've just talked about. Okay, Gina. Thank you, Gina. Peter, thank you. Is it George? Thank you,
no,
George.
It's Jorge.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Okay, and iPad 6, thank you. All right, so the norms have been established. So for us to get started, we would like to ask you if you'd be willing to share in the chat your response to the following questions. I have two questions, and one is, how are you connected to the southeast side of Chicago? And what are your hopes for this evening? Once again, how are you connected to the southeast side of Chicago? And what are your hopes for this evening? Could you please put your response in the chat? Okay, someone said, third generation resident of the southeast side. I hope to have our concerns heard and considered in the, let me just respond to that, in the permitting decision. Is there anyone else? Someone said, I live on the southeast side. Um, So those are the only two? Okay. So we'll get started. Our note taker was James. James will, we put the link to the Jamboard in the chat. James will now share the Jamboard. Okay. And I'll just go over quickly what Norma explained. There are four questions that we will be answering. We'll have a total of 15 minutes for each question. You can respond by using the sticky note, and that is clicking on the fourth icon to my left. So I'm assuming it's your right, the fourth icon, and writing on the sticky note, and then we will post it. So the first question is, based on what you've heard thus far, please share some of the potential benefits of this proposal on you and your community. And who specifically benefits? Do you guys have access to the Jamboard? Gina, Peter, where do you guys have access? John? So what you would click is on the fourth icon. Yes. And then you can write whatever your response to the questions. Are you
sticky notes not working?
The sticky note isn't working. Okay, James, will you take it down and put it back up again, please?
It works.
Yes, it works. Who was, yeah, okay.
That was me. It works.
Okay, thank you.
I guess my iPad doesn't let it work. This is Michelle and iPad.
Okay, so Michelle, since you don't have access to using the Jamboard, can you verbally tell us, based on what you've heard thus far, please share some of the potential benefits of this proposal on you and your community, while the others...
Can I use that or no?
Peter, do you have access? Can you use it? No?
Can you hear me, Walanza?
Yes, I can hear you now, okay. Peter. Yes. You don't have access either?
I don't appear to.
Okay. So can you verbally state your response to question number one?
Yeah, the potential benefits from my point of view is economic development in an economically depressed part of the city. I would like to see a clean reindustrialization of the Southeast Side to provide economic benefits and opportunities for the residents of the Southeast Side. And I think that can be done in a way that, and it should and must be done in a way that is considerate of the environment and preserves people's health as we share an atmosphere and other aspects of the environment.
Okay. And who do you specifically think that would benefit the residents? I mean, I don't want to feed you any information, so I'll retract that. Who do you think would specifically benefit from this proposal?
Well, of course, the owner of the facility, it's a business. The city benefits from collecting taxes from successful businesses. I think jobs is the most important thing from my point of view, and it's hard to say if there are going to be more jobs, and it appears there would be if the permit is granted and the facility begins to operate. It's hard to say who's going to get the jobs. We'd like to assume that since it's on the southeast side, that southeast south side residents will tend to get the jobs. Obviously, minority communities are underemployed in many circumstances, and I'd like to see jobs to go to such communities.
Okay. Great. Thank you. Gina, do you have a response?
Sure. I put it in the chat, but I said that there would be no benefits. We shouldn't have to sacrifice our health for jobs. The Calumet River is just completely dominated by industry. So why are we adding to our overburdened neighborhood? Anecdotally, through a southeast sider, you know someone with asthma, you know someone with cancer, you know someone with an autoimmune disease. I've lived here my entire life. RMG decided to open up this food pantry, as sort of like a token thing. I think that it's just poverty pimping. I don't think that there will be very many jobs that will be here. Because when I met with the owners of General Iron, who were, they said that they were bringing all of their workers down here. So I just don't think that, adding like more cancer rates, more asthma rates is worth like 10, 20 jobs. And also like this neighborhood has been a sacrifice zone for 100 years. We're still living in the 20th century industrial revolution here. This is the 21st century. You go to the north side and they have the 606 trail and they're breathing clean air. And we're just continuing to take this garbage. Like, no. So that's where I stand. I am not going to change my mind. I'm here to hear everyone's, opinion as well.
Thank you. Thanks. So everyone who is in the group have responded via whether they were verbal or a sticky note.
This is Michelle. I think what Gina has said, I would like second that, because I find there is no benefit to this company coming into the neighborhood. The only benefit would be for the company itself, their executives. That's it. If it was such a great company, you could stay.
Okay.
Hey, Walanza, if I could chime in, this is Jorge.
Yes.
I did put a few of them on there in terms of continued and sorely needed investment. The last 50 years have seen a withdrawal of any type of industrial development for the most part. In terms of industrial development here on the southeast side, the crown jewel is the Ford assembly plant, the Ford supplier campus, and even recently the CRRC Saifeng rail car company that's assembling the new generation of CTA rail cars. And then you also have the continued growth of industrial warehousing that's been built along Avenue O. The attributes of the area fit very well with industrial development, industrial investment. I remember 30 years ago when companies were leaving, they weren't necessarily leaving to China, as they probably will now be doing more reshoring over the next 10 to 20 years. But they were going over to Indiana and they were going over to Michigan. It is a very delicate situation where we could lose Ford because we have one of the highest tax structures for businesses. But these industries know that we have the best location for distribution, not only Chicago, all the six major railroads cross through here, Norfolk Southern, CSX. There are residents in the southeast side who work for the railroad companies. And this type of industry is critical to this new era of the rebuilding of America. As my community, the Hispanic community, continues to grow throughout the country, we need to make sure that we continue to invest in our infrastructure. The city, the state, and now the U.S. have now, for the first time, enacted capital plans that will see a tremendous demand for steel. We talk about rebuilding bridges and roads, not to mention all the construction that's going to happen with schools and new affordable housing facilities and units. The steel is not going to come from overseas. We've all are still dealing with the woes of a supply chain breakdown because of the pandemic. And the feedstock for the new era of steel, although I don't believe we'll be making any steel in this area, but the feedstock to it comes from municipalities, because this is where the cars are. You don't build facilities like this in the sticks, because the carbon footprint to do so just doesn't work. Okay. But the feedstock to this is recycled steel. And when we eventually switch over or merge over into the electric vehicles, it's just going to increase. So if there's an opportunity to do this socially and responsibly, lower the carbon footprint, do recycling as it's needed, because recycling is essential. This is the proper way to do so. And in the middle of all this, clearly the businesses will be able to do well, hire more people. And if we can keep those people from leaving the Southeast side, most of the employees, for example, from Ford do not live in the area. They actually, after they start working there, move over to the Northwest Indiana. So we have to be able to really create a circular economy and make that work, because we need to rebuild the country.
Great. Thank you so much. Thank you all for your response to the first question. Now we will move to question number two. James, I think you have to move us to question number two.
I just want to take a screenshot of this page, just in case anything gets lost.
Okay.
So I know there it's being saved and it's being recorded, but I just want to make sure.
Okay, I appreciate that.
Okay. All right.
All right. Question number two, based on what you've heard thus far, please share some of the potential burdens of this proposal on you and your community, and who specifically is burdened.
I'll start. This is Michelle.
Okay, Michelle.
The burden will be when the company is built, the emissions that it will produce. And I know Mr. Perez is going to try to chime in and say it isn't, but anytime you work with steel and recycling, you have to melt it down. And to melt it down, you have to use chemicals. And the chemicals got to go somewhere, whether it's in the air or in the soil or in the water. The other would be the trucks that come and go. We already have a lot of truck traffic, so we'll just add more truck traffic. And the burden will be the river itself. We will not have a nice river to actually enjoy, which we were trying to do many years ago, to do kayaking and boating and enjoy the river like they do on the north side. So I guess that's what I have to say.
Thank you, Michelle. Thank you for your response. Once
I'd
again,
like to go to the chance.
Okay. I'm sorry, Gina, but iPhone at the top had their hand up first. Let me acknowledge them, then I can acknowledge you, Gina.
And okay. And you know, I don't know why my name doesn't come up. My name is Jocelyn Rangel. I'm actually I'm a 10th Ward resident. Currently in lifelong, and I'm also an ICU nurse on the south side of Chicago as well.
Okay, then I apologize for that. Okay, no, you can go next. Okay.
Okay, so I think the burdens are, you know, threefold, quadruple fold, as far as allowing the permit and this operation to exist down here. I think first and foremost, we need to have leadership that is willing to act as an advocate. I think even just today, not even counting political donations that we've all seen amongst many city council members from lobbyists for who've represented both General Iron and you know, local industry, that, you know, even our own mayor and our own current alderwoman, which is John's boss, have, you know, recently had conversations saying that, you know, the people that are opposing this are, you know, agitators and don't play well with others. I think that's a false narrative. I think, as we've seen throughout these meetings, that many of us are united in opposition of this development, and that transcends politics or ideology. So to kind of pigeonhole people who are questioning why this doesn't belong here is very disingenuous. And I think that working in an ICU environment and working in the same area of the city that's been overburdened with population, with pollution, and that's by the city's own reports that they've put out, is so dangerous to actually try to sit here and justify more pollution or more pollution potential from players that have consistently been guilty of violations. And we know that there's the money there to pay any violation that the city would like to impose. And we also know that, you know, outside of our own particular area of, you know, maybe a few, you know, but smaller level employees, you know, the owners of this are not going to be living within the 10th ward within close proximity. So I think we need to just be more honest about who's actually going to experience the effects. And this has been labeled a strategic partnership from the get-go. This is not simply an asset transfer. Again, that's more disingenuous information that's being sold to the community, much like the food pantry and other things. And I think that, you know, it's really time for us to start having honest conversations about, you know, what exactly RMG is going to be doing for the community outside of bringing their own employees to work here. So we know it's a strategic partnership. As far as healthcare goes, I think that we have an incredibly sick population, and we also have a population that is overburdened with COVID-19 infection and risk. And I can tell you firsthand, our ICUs are filling back up with COVID patients, and these COVID patients are in fact dying. I have held the hand of dying patients just this last week. These are lifelong Southsiders. Okay, if we add to that burden and we are consistently sending a mixed message that the Department of Health wants you to get vaccinated, and at the same time, we tell them that it's okay and that it's perfectly safe to put more pollution into our very same community, we are sending a mixed message. Why should people get vaccinated if they cannot trust everything that comes from the Department of Health and that comes from our own Dr. Arwady and our own mayor? It's a disingenuous, double-sided message, and it is going to eventually harm the health of the people that have lived here and spent their entire lives building this community. So I think that's something we need to take pause and be very, very conscious of. Outside of business executives with their strategic development plans, we need to look at our residents' health from a public health standpoint. And if we're going to talk about economic growth, we have to have people that are going to be alive to see it. That's all I have to say as far as that. But the burdens far outweigh the benefits of this development being approved.
Thank you. I'd like to just remind us that we have to take space and make space. In other words, we have to share our thoughts and opinions, but also give another person the opportunity to share. It's only 15 minutes per question, so we only have 5 minutes left. Peter was the next person with his hand up. And Peter, can you kind of keep it a little brief so that we can get someone else to share?
Yes, I will. I'll try not to go too far afield.
Okay.
I hope I'm not cheating by saying that I'd like to mention something that I don't think is a burden. I've had the opportunity to visit the facility. I, from my professional background, know something about occupational and environmental health. I really don't think the emissions from this facility are going to pose a significant health burden. It's a prospectively, it's a very modern facility with aspects to it that are not required by the law that the owners have included, a retention plan, a special device for burning off VOCs so they don't go into the atmosphere in a toxic form. It's an environmentally modern recycling facility. A burden that does exist and it can't be denied is truck traffic, the increased truck traffic. And, you know, that's throughout the city. And I think we'll find when the EPA report comes out that there are other parts of the city that may have a higher burden from diesel exhaust, like those near expressway interchanges and the airport, et cetera. We have to do something to make truck traffic less polluting. We have trains. There's 100 Norfolk Southern trains, over 100, run through the southeast side every day. They're diesel trains. Are we going to shut them down? We have to come up with a plan collectively and cooperatively to make transportation cleaner. But the facility itself, I do not believe, poses a health burden to the community.
Thank you, Peter. Now we have Jorge.
Yep, Alonzo. So I'll just be real quick. In terms of the truck traffic, I think it's going to be, it will have to be phased into another solution. Currently, the new Burley Avenue is under engineering. And to get to an engineering standpoint, actually the southeast side has been waiting about probably 30 to 40 years, if not longer, for this phase. But as I mentioned before, there is finally the dollars to actually do a lot more construction. We're going to see a lot more construction everywhere and everything from horizontal to vertical construction. Burley Avenue will help alleviate the truck traffic there, and that'll get trucks off of Avenue O. But the truck traffic question, as Peter also alluded to, it's a bigger question. The supply chain problems that we've had only yells that we need, unfortunately, more trucks, more warehousing, and the integration of technology, the Amazon life that we live in now. Everybody is going through this phase of change of buying things online. So you're only going to see more trucks, and whether you attribute it to Southside's recycling is going to be a very difficult way to prove that. I would also say also burden are a lot of the scrappers, a lot of the folks that, we call them alley people who pick up our refrigerators, our water heaters, all the stuff that we throw out. A lot of those folks have been burdened because the price of scrap steel has been artificially manipulated. As this whole entire process has gone underway, thousands of people who we rely on scrapping and picking up all of our garbage and in our alleys, they've actually suffered because only one company, the company Sims Metal Management in Pilsen, has been operating. And they're operating unregulated, and they're not going through any of these processes as well. And they've actually been polluting Pilsen. But those individuals have been losing a lot of money at a time when steel is at an all-time high. So those individuals and those families have been burdened because of this.
Thank you. Is there any other comments? Okay, we're actually at time. I just want to thank you guys for your conversation and your interaction. We're getting really good information, and actually we're hearing conversations from both sides, pros and cons. So we appreciate that. Thank you. Okay, question number three. Is there anything else that you want people who are working on this proposal to know or think about based on your experience as a community member? Once again, is there anything else that you want people who are working on this proposal to know or think about based on your experience as a community member?
I could say something.
Okay.
I mean, my lived experience is that this thing has been underway for years because of this Burley Avenue and the TIF breaks that the city will be providing with North Point and now Invert that's trying to move in. And so I want the city to know that this concentration of industry on the south and west sides of Chicago that are predominantly low-income communities of color, like, it's very transparent what the city is doing, that they are like perpetuating environmental racism. This is like the new redlining, and we see it, and we're going to call it out and continue to hold the city accountable, because these companies should not be getting these huge tax breaks for these roads with these diesel trucks that are going to be poisoning my child who plays at Rowan Park. So yeah, I mean, it's just like very obvious what's going on. And the city needs to be held accountable for that.
Thank you, Gina. Peter?
Yeah, my experience on the Southeast side goes back to when I first moved to Chicago 50 years ago. At that time, the U.S. Steel Southworks was still operating and belching really bad pollution into the air. I live right near there now. I live about a block from where the Southworks used to be. In the interim, I've seen it close and many other facilities on the Southeast side close with the loss of jobs and economic prosperity and the ability to send your kids to college, et cetera, et cetera. That said, I'm glad those really polluting facilities are not operating anymore because they were really hazardous. And I just want to put some perspective on this. The Southeast side is much less polluted than it used to be. The dredge being pulled out of the bottom of the Calumet River is much less toxic. We have a Clean Air Act and a Clean Water Act. We have environmental laws and regulations. They should be enforced. There are laws and regulations in the city of Chicago. And of course, the health department should follow those regulations in its permitting decision. I think that we have an opportunity now to rebuild industry in a clean way. That's a task for the Southeast side, and indeed it's a task for the country and the world. And I think that we should create a more economically positive experience for the current and future residents of the Southeast side. Environmental justice is very important. Economic justice is very important.
Thank you. Thank you, Peter. Are there any more responses to question number 3?
Sure, Walanza, this is Jorge. I'll chime in. Okay. I would say from the standpoint go ahead.
Just can you hold one moment? I'm going a lot faster than the note taker. So if we can just give him a moment to finish Peter's comment, then we can go into yours. Go ahead.
Thank you.
You're welcome, James. I apologize.
It's okay, Walanza. I would say from the standpoint of folks who are working on this proposal need to understand that this type of investment is needed. We definitely need to look at what the new era of industry is going to look like in the cities. We need to answer the question of what do we do with old steel mill sites. The Calumet River is and probably will always be, has been an industrial river. Highways are fantastic, but I'm never going to ride my bike on it. And the Calumet River is akin to that. It is completely different from the North Branch of Chicago River, the Canal of Chicago. It is completely different. It is the reason why heavy industry is originally located here and will continue to do so. But because we are entering this new era that needs to be more socially and environmentally conscious and respectable, that gives us a wonderful opportunity to showcase what we can really do down here on the Southeast side for the next 100 years and then some. This opportunity only comes around once in a generation. We're at the beginning of it. And as I mentioned before, if a company can do this, do it socially consciously, lower carbon footprint, add more employees, add more jobs, create more jobs out here so that we do develop a marketplace similar to what we had maybe 50 to 80 years ago. You know, that marketplace died for the last 40 years. And unfortunately, the neighborhood suffered from it. What we have seen, though, is that the Hispanic community, the growth of the Hispanic community in this area and throughout the country, throughout the region, definitely has the potential to provide more opportunity. Our community is very optimistic. It's very entrepreneurial. It's very hardworking. We can go on and on how wonderful the community is. But unfortunately, we are not victims. We're survivors. We're the ancestors of the steelmaking era. And I think that optimism will bode well. But this type of investment, this type of work is definitely what's needed on the Southeast side right now.
Thank you. iPhone, your hand is up.
That's me. That's Jocelyn again. I'm sorry. I can't change my name in there. Just briefly, I think that it's just important to note that our fines that the city is that does impose when they do impose a fine, and their ability to actually impose a fine that would actually cause a change in behavior when it comes to violations, the two do not meet. There's no intersection there. This company could afford to pay fines all day, every day. And I do not think that that is any type of a deterrent as far as actually following any type of laws that we have or ordinances regarding clean air. And, you know, if you given the rates of asthma that our children suffer in this area, I think it's just the risk of having a company that can just operate to the standards that they set for themselves, regardless of how many air monitors are installed all over the place in close proximity. I think that's just important to note that the finding, the actual accountability process is woefully lacking for any type of development, which is why consistently industry has sought to come into this area. And no, we are not victims. And I think that that is the reason why you see so much pushback and why it does transcend ideology. This not just what you would consider an environmentalist that is proposing that we do not allow this here. Not all of us are consider ourselves environmentalists or revolutionaries or whatever term. You know, the gentleman here would like to dog whistle. You know, that we may be, if you know, because we're opposing this. I think we have very valid, real concerns, and you know, our property values will also take a hit, which means people will continue to move to Northwest Indiana. And we will never see that circular economy that Mr. Perez so optimistically is dreaming about. So yes, we are survivors, but we are also people who are intelligent enough and educated enough to push back and to recognize when we are getting played, and we are getting played hard by this company that wants to set up shop here. And that is not somebody who, as somebody who is not an environmentalist, I can attest to that being a very real sentiment around here.
Great. James, are you done? Okay, we're going to give James a few minutes to catch up. Then we will acknowledge Peter again.
I'll be brief. I neglected to mention something about my experience on the Southeast side. When I moved here, there was a big plan to put a modern urban development where U.S. Steel Southworks used to be between 79th and 92nd Street along the lakefront. The factory was torn down, the jobs went away, the site was remediated, and there were big plans. The Lakeside development was one of the names of the prospective development, and there have been others. Nothing has happened. You know, it's been 20 years. And I say this because I agree with Gina. We do need to have green space and clean development on the south side, similar to what might be on the north side. But here's a beautiful piece of lakefront property where the industry was taken out, the jobs left, and nothing is happening. There is no development. And I say this because I think we should be careful to suppress and drive out industry on the southeast side, imagining that it's going to be replaced with green space and new parks and water taxis and et cetera. You know, you could drive out industry and it may just remain vacant indefinitely. That said, there is room for recreation and industry both on the southeast side.
Thank you, Peter. Jocelyn?
I think it's just important to note that one of the reasons the developments have not succeeded in the old Southwark sites is I believe each proposed plan does their own due diligence and finds that the land is still polluted to a certain extent where they're not willing to take the risk. And that is actually a shining example of why our area's residents do not want the risk of more pollution when we could possibly build something like a medical campus that can serve as a training and a living and building hub to elevate our residents out of poverty and increase the quality of life for all of us. So the reason why that land has remained vacant has a lot to do with it still being so incredibly polluted that it's a huge risk for anybody that wants to develop on it. I think that's an important point to clarify.
Thank you.
Well, Lanza, real quick, just as a final note, that even though
hold on one second, James is finishing up Jocelyn's note, so you have to give us a second. Okay.
I would say even though there are concerns on this development, there are still homes that are being sold and purchased on the east side and in Hagwish, and the values continue to go up. The average price on the southeast side and the east side is probably around $265,000. And Hegwisch has a couple of listings that I just looked up, a little over $300,000. Not a low income community, as often gets thrown out there. But even though this process, even though there are different views of this, the reality and the facts supposed that are still there. Housing values are going up. There's housing sales every single day. The velocity of home sales has not been diminished because of this perception of what this company is supposedly is going to do all wrong to the community.
Thank you. We have a couple of other people online that have not made a comment. I'm wondering, John, do you have anything you would like to say? And who has iPad 6?
Nope, I appreciate all your time, and I'm glad we had this session.
Okay.
This is Michelle on iPad 6.
I'm sorry, Michelle. I keep forgetting who's who. Okay.
That's okay. Yes. I can't change it into a name. Okay. Just to reiterate what iPhone lady said, which is what I agree with. One of the things that happens here on the Hegwisch area and southeast side is you go through, the area smells wonderful. And then at night, all of a sudden, there's this weird odor and everyone in the neighborhood goes, who did this? What's going on? And then there's this big community thing trying to find out which industry in the, whether it's Indiana or here, is polluting and not letting anyone know. And then maybe a week or two later, somebody finds out where it is. We've already been polluted with whatever it was there. And then the city comes in, does a fine. Oh, you have to pay X amount of money. The company goes, oh, so bad, so sad. They pay the fine and then they're back to doing it again. What we're afraid of is that this company is saying that they're so modern and that they won't be polluting. But once they're in here, they're in here. And there's nothing we can do to stop it from being a polluting company. And so we don't even want them here because obviously they were polluting on the north side. Otherwise, the north siders wouldn't have kicked them out. So we can't trust that they're going to be a non-polluting company. There's nothing that says they won't. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. Okay, James, once you're done with that note, you can capture it and we can go to question number 4. Once again, thank you all for your participation. This has been a very engaging conversation among the individuals that reside in the Southeast Side community. And I want to thank you for your time and thank you for your input in this conversation.
Like I'm doing a jigsaw puzzle, but I appreciate your patience.
Yes. But we definitely have to capture the information so that we're capturing exactly what you guys have said. And as Megan stated earlier, all of your comments will be posted on the city's website for you to review. So our final question for the evening is looking forward beyond the permit decision, what should we be aware of as we embark on other policies or process changing initiatives? And do you have any specific recommendations? So we have iPhone, Michelle, is it no, Jocelyn. On who's raised her hand.
It's Jocelyn. I think yeah, this is, and I know I've spoken a few times, so thank you. And I'll
That's
keep it
okay.
brief because I certainly don't want to monopolize. I think given this is such an important topic that doesn't get brought up much is that lobbyists who represent industry, especially industry that seeks to receive permits from the city council, support of the mayor, that it should be so incredibly hard to accept a donation from a lobbyist, for example, Reyes Kersen, who has ties to the community in what none of us would consider a positive way, and ties to, you know, General Iron, who, as we've seen in publications, has joined with a strategic partnership, not an asset transfer, but a strategic partnership with RMG, that they have been able to consistently donate money to city council members who serve on key committees, not just our own Alderwoman Garza, but Alderman Cardenas, who serves, you know, in a role that directly impacts the environment in Chicago, to other aldermen who, you know, deal with zoning and finance. I think it is so important that we start to remember the role of lobbyists and of industry owners who it is de facto pay to play, where they are giving donations. And we cannot say with certainty that this has not influenced any type of approvals that have happened, especially when we have text messages between our alderwoman and mayor that say, I'll ride with you till the end. That was featured in the newspaper today. You cannot expect our residents to look at these officials with confidence that they will be using their role as advocates, as opposed to just benefiting them their own reelection campaigns. So I think really making sure that there is an inability to accept donations when it comes to anybody that's representing a company that seeks to obtain a permit from the city for any type of industry is really important going forward, because we see this is what happens when there absolutely is no oversight. And here we are having this discussion in an area that is literally one of the most overburdened in the state when it comes to environmental pollution. So I think that that's important.
Great. Thank you. Thank you. Okay, we have another hand up, Jorge. You're muted.
Sorry about that. Beyond the permit, one of the biggest detriments to this whole process that the city needs to understand is the message that it has sent to the business community in Chicago, throughout Chicago. The big word that we've been hearing the last couple of years is uncertainty. Because of the pandemic, we don't know how this is all going to pan out. We don't know what the future is going to look like. But these types of decisions that hinder investment, hinder the perception of that Chicago is business friendly, is a very bad message, and one that is very difficult to walk back, because other cities are competing with our businesses. They work on a regular basis to pull them out of Chicago and relocate them to their towns. We do not want to have the message to go out that Chicago is closed for business. That is bad. It has very bad long-term effects. It's called Detroit. This is what happens. If this is the message that continues to go out there as a result of a process like this, that's what's going to happen. And no, we won't have a circular economy. Companies will just stop investing here. And we've seen it in the last 30 years on the Southeast side, all the investment that's happened in Northwest Indiana. They have wonderful amenities, and unfortunately, they have a BP oil refinery. I would also add to that, in terms of beyond the permit, if health impact assessments are going to be done, that they look at a larger scope. City of Chicago policy folks need to understand that the Southeast side is right on the Indiana border. We can literally walk over there, and somehow they forget that this is, you know, it's a marketplace that is both Northwest Indiana and Southeast side.
Okay.
Also, I would add real quick about the health impact analysis assessments. If you're going to use it, do it consistently. There's going to be a considerable amount of construction that I talked about. Are all construction projects, or all construction projects perhaps should include this? From O'Hare 21, the redevelopment there, the new Chicago casino, all affordable housing projects, all the Neighborhood Opportunity Fund projects, all the sewer water capital improvements, anything that has construction, there's fugitive dust that gets kicked up. And this is an old city. When you open up a wall, when you tear down a building, a lot of that stuff, you have asbestos, you have things in people's homes and old buildings that are a lot more detrimental than this recycling facility.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Peter. And then Gina.
Yeah, I want to start by responding to the remark made about a future without the influence of money on politicians.
No, that's unfortunately that's, Peter, that is not our question. The question is, and I have to just go back, beyond the permit decision, what should we be aware of as we embark on other policies or process change initiatives? Do you have any specific recommendations? And the follow-up
I look forward to a future where we can respectfully disagree with each other without impugning each other's honesty and motivations. Okay. It's unfair, in my opinion, to accuse Alderman Garza of being corrupt, even if someone may strongly disagree with her. I believe she has the best interests of the community at heart. I don't agree with her on everything, but it's not an issue of corruption in this case. I look forward to a future where people who disagree strongly on many issues find common ground to develop a cleaner Chicago and clean reindustrialization of the Southeast Side.
Okay.
That's the future I'm looking forward to. I think we can build back cleaner. I think we can have economic justice along with environmental justice.
Thank you, Peter. Gina.
Yeah, I think that the land use and zoning laws in Chicago need to be completely revamped. The North Side is also a planned manufacturing district like the Southeast Side, and under Rahm Emanuel's administration, virtually overnight, that was changed because of gentrification and higher incomes and, you know, accommodations for those residents because their lives are deemed more valuable than those on the Southeast Side. The Southeast Side is the only parcel of land that can take in hazardous waste. Why hasn't that changed? And why do we have to be considered the sacrifice zone? Because we are on the border of Indiana. So that means the impact is double because I smell Cargill on Avenue D, the chlorine that they use. I'm sure that all the other metal facilities that is permeating also to the 10th Ward. So, we need to consider that cumulative impact. I know that the mayor intervened when ArcelorMittal was, you know, dumping waste into Lake Michigan. We need to rewrite land use and zoning policies in Chicago. We need an environmental justice ordinance that does not create loopholes for companies like Invert to start their mining process here on the Southeast Side. We need the city and the state to work together more because the state permitting process is completely broken as well. They didn't look at past violations of General Iron blowing up with this new state-of-the-art equipment that is moving to the Southeast Side. That wasn't even considered in this permitting process. That needs to be considered. They also need to take our testimony into consideration in the permitting process. Our alderwoman needs to read her emails so that when we have an opportunity to, at the get-go, voice our concerns at the Zoning Board of Appeals at City Council, we're not scrambling because she didn't read an email to let us know to try to stop this thing from the start.
Thank you, Gina. Thank you. And now we'll have Jocelyn.
Thank you so much. I think that just when we talk about what we need to do in the future, I think actually comparing, like Gina had mentioned, the standards that are acceptable on the North Side versus the South Side really need to be taken into consideration, and the West Side as well. But when we talked about, you know, things like property values, you know, they may have risen here on the Southeast Side, but they are nowhere near the same as what you see on the Northwest Side. So for the same type of house, you're going to see a drastic price difference, or even just from here to Beverly. So I think when you factor in the environmental that X that's in that equation of our environmental burden down here, and we have to also consider with every permit that's issued, what is the sum of all the parts? Because as Dr. Draper mentioned, the dredging of the Calumet River, it may be less toxic than it was, but it's still being housed here in the 10th Ward. And we still have various other neurotoxic materials, being stored here. So the total being considered
I'm sorry, I have to cut you off, but you're going to be cut off abruptly. So I want to stop and take this time to thank each of you for your time and for the conversation and for how you engaged in this fruitful conversation. so that the city can actually take an opportunity to look at both sides, the pros and cons, and come up with whatever decision they're going to make. Once again, my name is Walanza. I was a facilitator. James is our note taker. And we'd like to thank you for spending this time this evening. Have a good evening.
Thank you, everyone. Very informative.
Thank you.
Thanks. You're a great group.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Great group. Yes. So, James, do you have to